Hare Krishna. So welcome all the dear devotees. We are going to discuss now second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Shloka number 13th. The very famous shloka, and I expect the devotees to remember this shloka. Very important. It's a basic understanding of Krishna consciousness or spiritual life. So this has been, Prabhupada has given so many lectures on this. So that also you can hear. I'm going to discuss the commentary of Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan Pad and then Srila Prabhupada. Dehino asmin yatha dehe, asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara, tatha dehantara praptir, dhiras tatra namuhyati. Dehino asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara, tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati. Dehino asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara, tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati. So in the previous shloka, Lord Krishna has explained, Natvivaham jatu nasam, natvam neme janadipah, nacheva na bhavishyama sarve vayavatah param. That there was no time when you were not there, I was not there, or these kings were not there. And he's explaining this point in this shloka. Dehino, dehina asmin yatha dehe. In this, yatha means just like, in this, in this body, dehi means in this body, dehi means the possessor of the body, that means atma, asmin dehe, asmin means in this dehe, in this body, yatha means like that. So, like in this body, the living entity or dehi, the possessor of the body, remains constant all throughout the various transformations of the body. Kaumaram yavanam jara. Kaumaram means childhood. Yavanam means youth. And jara means old age. Tatha dehantara praptri. Similarly, when there is dehantara, when there is change of body, Dehantara prapti, when the change of body is attained, dhiras tatra namuhyati, a person who is self-controlled, in that, tatra means in that, he does not become bewildered. I was so enthusiastic to give this class that I forgot to chant Mangalacharan also. So, I'm sorry, I would have first chanted Mangalacharan. Okay. Now see, after Mangalacharan, a special idea came now. Just now, one devotee told me, somebody asked me why you have left everything, a great career and great education. But this is our career in material world. This is our career in material world, is it not? Every time, same career, same job. We take birth, then we grow a little bit old, like a boy, like 5-year-old boy. Kaumara means 5-year age. And then we grow further, like in youth now we have. You are old, Prabhuji. You are not youth. Yeah, well, almost. I'm not that old also. But, and then also, then further, we go like 50 around. After 50 years, you can say you are old. And then 70, you completely become old and then you die. So now, this shloka is very interesting. The Lord is saying, Dehino asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati. A person who is self-controlled, dhira, whose senses are controlled, he can see that I am not this body. It's a very, very, very interesting shloka. That's why I was so enthusiastic to discuss this shloka. Only a person whose senses are controlled, his mind is controlled, he will not get bewildered by these changes or transformation of the body. Otherwise, we will. All our miseries are because of the fact that we identify with the products or transformations of the body. Transformation of our own body and transformations of others' bodies. Is it not? As I was hearing today only Maharaj's lecture on this point, that how in this world we are so much attached to those things which are produced from the body. We have no connection with our relatives of this life, actually. We don't see them in our life. What do you mean by you don't see them in life? What is it? I'm seeing my sister, I'm seeing my brother, I'm seeing my mother. No, we are seeing their bodily forms. We are not seeing them. Prabhuji, what are you saying? In the morning, I think you're too much hungry. I'm seeing my sister, I'm seeing my mother, I'm seeing my father. How do you say I'm not seeing them? Dehi no asmin yatha dehe. So you are seeing, we are seeing the deha, the body. But we are not seeing the dehi. Dehi means the soul, which is a possessor of the body. This is the very important instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Very important instruction. And bewilderment means, what is it bewilderment? We think I am this body and products which are of the body are mine. And then in that we forget who am I and whose I am. Whom do I belong to? I belong to Krishna. I forgot that. And Krishna belongs to me. That also I forgot. So real I and real mine we forget. And we completely spend one life after another thinking of a different I than myself and thinking of a different mind than what is really mine. Are you able to understand my word jugglery? Okay, hopefully you are able to understand. We'll go forward. So this is the word which I really like on this shloka is dhiras. A person who is dhira, who can tolerate the urges of the senses, then he can rise over this ignorance. Before I go further, I'll make a little drift in this point. In Taittiriya Upanishad, I was reading a little bit, very nicely. So when the disciple is asking spiritual master, what is Brahman? Then he says, you do tapasya. Tapasya is Brahman. So by doing tapasya, he realizes himself as body. And so then again, he says, Annamaya Purush. Then he says, what is Brahman? Then he says, you do tapasya, tapasya is Brahman. Then he realizes himself as Manomaya Purush. And then again, he says, goes to the spiritual master, what I should do? No, what is Brahman? He says, tapasya is Brahman. Brahman is tapasya. Then again, he does tapasya and then he realizes Gyanamaya Kosh. Manomaya Kosh, Gyanamaya Kosh. And then again, he realizes himself as Vigyanamaya. That means he realizes himself as Jivatma. But then again, it is not stopped here. Again, it is said, no, you do tapasya. Then he realizes Krishna as Anandamaya Purush. So you understand my point? A person who is engaging his senses in sense gratification, even though he hears this knowledge that he is not the body, he can't make anything out of it. That is the point. It's not simply a knowledge which you can pay money for and understand. We have to chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, do bhakti, then we can digest this philosophy. This is the shloka itself. It's a very beautiful shloka, very nice shloka. If you remember from Nectar of Instruction, you have heard this word dhira there also. Vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam jivha vegam udurapastha vegam etan vegan yuvishaheta dhira sarvam api mam prithvim dasushya. So that person who can tolerate these six urges of speech, of mind, of anger, of tongue, of stomach and of genitals, that person is dhira and that person is not bewildered by the changes of the body. So at least those who are students, at least do not cry anybody if you see anybody dying in their family, because nobody dies, it's only an illusion. Well, just to show that you are part of the family, you can shed some tears, ooh, like that. But I have never cried for anybody dying in the family. No, never, ever, never, ever. Because only I think when I became a devotee, at least come to Krishna consciousness, then people started dying in their family. Before that, I was not aware that anybody died or something like that. After that, Babaji died, okay. Pitaji died, fine. It's interesting, when I was giving fire to the body of my father, the wind blew towards my side and it burned my hand. So I immediately threw that fire away. I said, see, this is because of the soul. In my mind, I was thinking like this. I am there in this body, so I cannot tolerate even a slight fire. But the soul is not there in my father's body, so his body is lying very, very silently. You burn the whole body. So that difference has to be there. This is a very great, in Hindi mein kehte hain kuthara ghat means real heavy blow on our material aspirations. Whatever we are doing materially is useless for the soul. So intelligent person will do sufficient enough so that he has sufficient time to realize his soul and maintain the body and soul together. That is an intelligent person. Prabhuji, if you speak like this, we will not come to your class. We are too much attached to our material aspirations. what to do? I have to speak the truth. This is a fact, is it not? Anything you do with your body, is everything gets lost. And we can lose this body at any point of time. So a person does not become bewildered by these changes. He focuses his mind and consciousness on Krishna as much as possible. Okay? Yes. So I think you understand the meaning. Translation. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. One interesting point is there in this. Srila Prabhupada says in lecture on this shloka only, in this life, now there are two points I would like to say. First, people say, why should we believe Bhagavad Gita? So now if you say, this is a shloka which you can quote to them and you can say, yeah, this, are you not seeing this from your own eyes in this world? Where is your body which was there when you were 2 years old? All the devotees who are here, do you know, if you close your eyes, can you actually visualize how you were looking, how you were looking when you were 2 years old? Anyone? No, it's just impossible. So see, but definitely we were 2 years old. Our body, we are in that body. So that body is gone or not? So are we crying? We don't cry. In this body, in this life only, we have done so much of dehantar, but transformation of the body. We don't cry. So now at the last, when we leave the body, what is the point of crying? This is because of illusion only, is it not? We do not bring a water bottle when we take birth. Then why do we cry over things when we lose in this world? We don't have anything in this world. It's a fact. Does it not? It doesn't make sense. So like this. So now second point which Srila Prabhupada was mentioning, which I wanted to say, is that this transformation we all can see. This knowledge that the body is changing and the soul is there constant can be directly experienced. Rudra Prabhu, am I the same Shubh Krishna Das who gave you class 5 years back? Rudra is saying no. This means I'm a very bad teacher. I have not been able to teach you anything since 5 years. Am I the same Shubh Krishna Das who has taught you the basic lessons 5 years back? इंग्लिश समझ रहे हैं कि नहीं समझ रहे हैं मैं वही व्यक्ति हूं ना जो व्यक्ति हूं क्या जो आपसे 5 साल पहले प्रवचन दिया था क्या अलग कोई व्यक्ति बोल रहा है अब समझ में आया हिंदी शायद अंग्रेजी समझ में दिक्कत हो रही है हैं अंग्रेजी समझ में नहीं आती आती
यू चेंजिंग योर
बॉडी माय बॉडी हैज चेंज्ड बट आई एम द सेम पर्सन ओ प्रभु जी वी हैव टू टॉलरेट यू ऑल आवर लाइफ You won't change. Yes, my dear devotees, you have to tolerate me if you come to my classes all my life. One devotee asked on Facebook, how long the Bhagavatam classes will go? I'm like, as long as I live in this body. That's how the classes will go on. Because Bhagavatam is so long. And I have, suppose, by Krishna's mercy, I have energy to speak also. So you understand? Achha, okay, maybe I am same, but maybe you are different. So Rudra Prabhu, are you the same Rudra whom I gave class first time? No. Oh, no, Lord, give you breakfast. You are the same Rudra. Pascal, you don't understand this. You are the same Rudra. Acha, after 20 years, will you remain the same Rudra or different Rudra?
Same.
That is the whole point. Well, Rudra means, obviously, Rudra is referring to the body. Idea is, our consciousness gets purified. That is no problem. But the soul who is the possessor of the consciousness remains the same. Then what do you worry? What do we worry? Is it not? Even in our life, you're not worrying that body is changing. So then at the time of death, why should we worry that the body has changed? So when we hear Bhagavad Gita, the lamentation will go away. Please don't take it lightly. There are some students, I know one devotee, he got completely bewildered when his father lost his body. Completely bewildered. Bhakti karna chhod diya usne. कर ही नहीं पा रहा मुझे किसी से बात नहीं करने हैं कंप्लीटली शोक शोषणम इंद्रियाणाम दैट शोक इज दैट लैमेंटेशन इज ड्राइंग अप हिज सेंसेस आई डोंट नो व्हाट इज हिज सिचुएशन नाउ सो इट्स वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट टू अंडरस्टैंड दिस पॉइंट ओके यस नाउ गीता भूषण कमेंट्री अर्जुना इन स्पाइट ऑफ द इटर्नल नेचर ऑफ द सोल डिस्टिंक्ट फ्रॉम द बॉडीज ऑफ भीष्म एंड अदर्स it is appropriate to lament for the bodies which are places of enjoyment. So you see how he is linking the previous shloka. The Lord has told that why are you worrying? There was no time when you were not there, I was not there, and other kings were not there. But then Arjuna's argument may be there. No, but you see, they have such nice bodies. Now they are in a kingly body. So they have such nice bodies by which they can enjoy. So if that body is lost, definitely it's a cause of lamentation. Samajh rahe na meri baat? Itna sundar shareer mila hai, bhog karne ke liye, wo shareer chhoot jayega to dukh hona chahiye na. Ye baat bol rahe. This is beautiful link. So now if that is Arjuna's argument, then Krishna speaks. No, this is not so. The soul which has many bodies in the past, present and future has three states of childhood, youth and old age while existing in the present body. Just as one does not lament at gaining a succession of bodies related to the soul and suitable for his enjoyment, in the same way with the destruction of a series of previous bodies, the acquisition of another body with the destruction of the present body should be a source of jubilation for you rather than a source of lamentation. In this manner, Yati became joyful on gaining a youthful body. The intelligent person, before this, I'll explain this point. This is very, very interesting, very interesting. I just was joking with you, please don't feel offended. I was just saying this. This is really funny argument by Krishna. You see, what is funny in this? I'll explain. You know when Mother Devaki was caught by her hairs by Kansa. So the same argument Vasudevji is giving to Kansa. That you see, Kansa will say the same thing, that the body is changing and we always get the body. Now it's very interesting. In whichever state of body we are very attached to the body. Do you agree? All the devotees, all the bodies agreeing here? Why? Because the enjoyment which the body gives at a particular state is dear to the soul. I give an example. In the childhood body, the child is very much eager to play with the games. So he is attached to his body at that time. Now, when he grows up, he may not be attached to games. When he becomes a young boy, he may be attached to girls or maybe playing with his friends. Then he grows further, then he may not be so much attached to girls or whatever. He may be attached to doing business and earning money. And then further, when he goes to old age, maybe attached to talking about business or not business, politics and all those things, or any kind of enjoyment. This is very, very interesting that any body which the jiva will get, he will be very happy to be in that body. And definitely, he's not liberated, so he will definitely get the body. So what is the point of lamentation? It is a very subtle point to be understood. You see, it's very gross, the insect, the worm in the stool is as happy in his body as we are happy in this body. Do you accept that? If you remove the worm from the stool, he will again go back to stool. That is the evidence that he is very happy being a worm in the stool. That is Maya. Can you imagine that? Okay, another example. Subah-subah, kya example aap de rahe hain? But example dena padta hai. Another example of King Indra, who became, by the curse of, I believe, Brihaspati, he became a pig. And he was completely attached to being a pig. And then Brahmaji came. He said, supposed to become Indra again? Why? What will I get stool there? He said, no, you won't get stool there in Sarga. And what is the point of going by becoming an Indra? Just imagine how powerful Maya is. So you see, any kind of body, we do not feel hated for the body because that gives enjoyment to the soul. The enjoyment which the jiva wants in that particular body. Just like the cow does not want to eat flesh. So cow, the jiva in cow's body satisfied the cow. Being a cow, the jiva in the body of a tiger is satisfied being a tiger, because tiger doesn't want to eat whatever grass or something. He gets his flesh like that. That's how Maya is preaching us. Be satisfied here, my dear devotees, my dear bodies or whatever. Everybody, we are so much satisfied. In this regard also, I'm just elaborating on this point. This is a really funny point what Krishna is saying here. And one time Radha Govind Maharaj was mentioning this point in village. There was an old lady and she said, I want to give up this body. I want to give up this body. I'm frustrated. Then Maharaj said, okay, I'll give you two wires, live wires with current. You touch them when you die. No, I don't want to die like this. I don't want to die like this. So people don't want to voluntarily give up their life. We are not saying that you commit suicide or anything. That is not good. But the point which is being mentioned here, that we are attached to the body. Three points. We are attached to the body. We get the enjoyments exactly suitable as per the body. Or no, we get the body exactly suitable for the desires of enjoyment which we have. And third is, we will definitely get a body. Unless we are liberated, we will definitely get the bodies. Three points. We will get the body. The body will be suitable for our enjoyment. And what was the third point? No, 2 points only. Yeah, 2 points only. Third point was not there. So, and then we will be attached to the body also. This is the third point, because we get the enjoyment. So there is no question of lamentation. And now Baldev Vidya Bhushan ji has given explanation. This is a story of Yayati Maharaj. You know that some of the devotees will know the story, but some of them will not know. I'll explain. Yayati Maharaj had 4 sons. Puru, I'm forgetting the names. Puru was the youngest. What are that? Yadu, Puru, and Turvasu, and one more was there in Bhagavatam. So I'm not remembering their names. So Yayati Maharaj was married to Sharmishtha Devyani. He was married to Sharmishtha, I believe. She was a Brahmani and she was a daughter of Shukracharya, if I'm not getting the names wrong. And Devyani was the daughter of a king. So now Devyani also got married to, not married, but she was serving as a servant of Sharmishtha. There was a history behind that. So then Shukracharya had taken a promise from the king that you will not associate with. Okay, he was married to Devyani. So let's say he was Devyani. He was married to Devyani and Sharmishtha was the daughter of a king. So then Shukracharya has told that you should not associate with Sharmishtha at all for procreating children like that. But he did that. So Devyani went back to Shukracharya and Shukracharya cursed Yayati Maharaj that he should immediately lose his youth and become an old man. So, but then later on he realized, array, if he becomes old, how my daughter will enjoy her life? So then he said, okay, you can transfer your youth with any of your sons. So then he asked all 4 of his sons, out of 3 rejected, no, we will not give our youth to you. But then Puru gave his youth to Yayati Maharaj. So then from with that, gaining that youth, he again enjoyed for 1,000 years more with Devyani. But then ultimately he became frustrated. He said, no, this is giving me no enjoyment. And then he advanced in Krishna consciousness. So the idea is, when Yayati Maharaj had an old body and when he got a youthful body, did he not become happy? At least at that time. So dehantar hua na, there was a change of body, but then he was happy. So the same thing Baldev Vidya Bhushan is indicating, that if these people are killed now in the battle, they will get another body. So there is no question of lamentation and that body will be youthful. Make sense? Am I going too fast or I should speak more slowly so that you can understand? I think you are able to understand my English, my dear devotees. Okay, now we'll go further. There will be very, very nice concepts we're going to hear in this commentary. Don't worry, I will not complete the whole thing today only. We'll finish it by 9, but whatever we can understand. Now, why the living adhira, a person who's intelligent, does not become bewildered, is explained in the commentary. The intelligent person or dhiraha, one who knows the true nature of the maturing karmas upon the jiva in combination with his impressions called swabhava and body is not bewildered by the change. I will read the note and then explain. The swabhavas or impressions are the mechanism for remembrance of experiences from previous lives by which the jiva shows attraction or repulsion to particular objects in this life. This is distinct from the aspect of karma, which creates situations for the jiva by giving him a body and unavoidable circumstances in life. In those circumstances, the jiva then chooses to act, but is usually influenced by the impressions rather than scriptural knowledge. A person not influenced by those impressions or his karma, but by true knowledge, is a dhira. He surpasses the influence of these impressions by mercy of devotees. He then follows the scriptures rather than his impressions and practices as a sannishtha, parinishtha or a nirapeksha devotee. Oh Baba, this is too much. It's too much philosophy. But I'll, after reading this, I'll explain this. It's very easy to understand. You see, what is karma? Depending upon our previous actions in our previous lives, we have got these bodies, and throughout our body we will be in a pre-decided situation in a particular time frame. एक विशेष समय में हमारे सामने एक विशेष उपस्थिति होती है, एक स्थिति की जो हमारे कर्मानुसार होती है. You cannot avoid that. It's just like if I have bought a ticket for, let's say, Mongolia. Now I am sitting in the plane. Okay? I am sitting in that plane bound for Mongolia. I cannot change it. Obviously, unless you like try to jump it. But doesn't work like that. They don't allow you to jump. So that you cannot change. Now, how I am going to behave in the plane is not dependent on my situation in the plane. It is dependent on what is my nature, what is my swabhav. Will I going to fight with the people? Will I going to fight with the air hostess or whatever, or just do all kind of nonsense? That is my swabhav. I'll explain what is swabhav. Swabhav is our chitta, our consciousness gets influenced by modes of passion, ignorance and goodness. So in every life, we by our actions are associating with these three modes of material nature: goodness, passion and ignorance. As soon as you don't understand, you can raise a question or like that. It's a very, very important point to be understood, because this point of swabhav and karma will come again and again in Bhagavad Gita. So this is why I'm holding here and then going forward with that. So now swabhav, nature we understand, conditioned nature. So how this conditioning happens, we do not have knowledge of scriptures. So we behave because of beginningless ignorance. We have a desire to enjoy, avidya. So now when we begin to enjoy, if we have no knowledge, then we may mostly enjoy either in ignorance or in passion or in goodness. So depending on that, when we enjoy in ignorance, I will have a sanskar of ignorance and my swabhav will also become of ignorance. I give an example. If a person is born in a family who are meat eaters, whatever, by his karma. So now they will feed him meat. So then he becomes attracted to the fragrance of meat because his consciousness is influenced by ignorance. But if a child is born, just for example, by his karma or something, he's born in a place where there are good devotees. So he will be repulsed by these ghastly scenes. Is it not? I think you're able to understand. Now, in our own life, are we not seeing that our natures are different? Uddhav Dwarkadish Prabhu, are you same? Do you have the same nature as my nature? Rudra Prabhu? Gaurgopal Prabhu. So we all have different nature, is it not? Somebody may be in mode of goodness, some may be a little bit on mode of passion, maybe ignorance and all that. We are all trying to be devotees, but we all have different natures. Is it not? Yes. So what is the reason for that nature? The impressions of previous lives. Now what has been explained in the commentary is a very beautiful point. Because a person can raise an objection or raise a question, if I am lusty from my previous life, then what? How will I behave in this life? actions which are based on lust. If I'm angry, how will I behave in this life? Actions are based on lust. Anybody will do anything, I'll become angry. So how will I come out of it? Are you able to see the chain reaction? I'll become angry, and then again the same impression will be reinforced as a feedback on my consciousness. So practically speaking, unless we hear a Shastra, then there is no chance that we can change our Swabhav. Does it make sense to you? But Shastra engage us that no, you even if you feel like behaving like this as per our nature, but no, we should not behave like this. We should behave as per the Shastra. Even if it doesn't feel good, that is the only way we can conquer our Swabhav. Somebody asked today that how to conquer over anger. Yes, anger will come because that is my Swabhav from my previous conditioning. So how have I got this conditioning? By doing actions which caused me to pick up anger. Okay, so now in this life, I have to do actions which will promote goodness on my consciousness, even if I don't like. ये बात समझ में आ रहा है, मैं इसको बहुत आराम से समझा रहा हूं ताकि आप लोग बहुत अच्छे से समझ जाएं इस बात को. द ओनली वे वी कैन चेंज दर स्वभाव, दिस इज वन पॉइंट. अनदर एंगल इज वी डोवोटेल आर स्वभाव इन कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस. वट एवर इज अवर नेचर, वी डोवोटेल मीन्स वी हाउ टू से वी यूज दैट स्वभाव इन कृष्णा सर्विस. दिस इज ऑल्सो वेरी गुड. Somebody can be a good designer, somebody can be a good writer, somebody can be a big speaker, somebody can be a cook. That comes naturally to all of us, is it not? Somebody is a good manager, is it not? Everybody just, many people don't even realize it is just coming naturally to them. Somebody can very easily learn mridanga, somebody cannot even play one kartal also properly, is it not? So it's not one lifetime's thing, it's all continuing from lifetimes of experience. So the idea is, let us try to learn in the association of devotees, as has been explained in the commentary. In the association of devotees, we realize this is not our true nature. This Swabhav is not our true nature. Our true nature is servants of Krishna. Swarup is not the Swarup of Jiva. Swabhav and Swarup is different. Swarup is your eternal constitutional position in relationship with Krishna. And Swabhav is our conditioned nature. Programmed nature. Programming samajhte hain, program karte na kisi ye result nikal ke aaya hai. So we have been programmed by the material nature to behave in a certain way when a certain response is, when a certain stimuli is given. I give an example. I am elaborating on this point. You must understand this very nicely. One very nice example is given. If you are or we are in a car and the car gets stuck in a jam, so that is our karma. You can't change that, but we can curse the people. We can curse the people who have made the jam. And will that open the jam? It will not open the jam. Yes. So other person can peacefully sit and say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You will chant Hare Krishna. It's a fact which I have seen in Indonesia. There was a very heavy jam, maybe 3 to 4 hours. But nobody was cursing anybody. Nobody. Everybody was laughing, smiling, waiting in their car. Just that because there is mode of goodness prevalent there, people are like that. Nobody will honk. Honk, you understand? They will nobody. No. So that is their natural. They don't understand, but that is their natural somehow because everybody is associating with mode of goodness. But that is good, is it not? And now because we are associating with mode of passion too much, that's why we have strange Swabhav. So one has to be very careful with what we are associating. So what are we learning from this? By the association of devotees, we can change our Swabhav. We can change our Swabhav because our Swabhav has been acquired by us by being in this material world. Uddhava Prabhu Swami Maharaj. So because in acquired thing, it's not a swarupa, we can change it also by chanting Hare Krishna, by doing bhakti like that. Theek hai? My dear devotees, are you able to understand these things? Hopefully. Okay, good.
This is the meaning of Dhira.
This is the meaning of Dhira, that he can see how all living entities are getting this body by the maturing of karmas and they are behaving as per the sanskaras. That means swabhav. So he doesn't get bewildered. Unable to understand. Very, very beautiful commentary. Now, other thing which has been mentioned here is that sanishth, parinishth and nirapeksha. What does it mean? You see, sanishth, nishtha means faith, firm faith. Sanishtha means a person who has faith in varnashram. He is a devotee, but he said, no, I must follow varnashram to get purified. So seeing that kind of faith, the devotees will give him that kind of instruction. Okay? Parinishth means his faith is not in varnashram, his faith is in devotional service. But he executes varnashram just to set a standard for those who need to follow varnashram. Adarsh sthapit karne ke liye. Uska sadhana varnashram nahi hai. He does not have faith in varnashram. He knows simply by doing bhakti, I'll become perfect. But just to set the standard for those who do not have that kind of faith in bhakti, but who will get purified by following varnashram, he follows the varnashram system. Prabhuji, I thought some stories will come. No, my dear devotees, no story will come. Only Siddhant. Bhagavad Gita means only Siddhant. And nirapeksha, apeksha means, and apeksha ko kaise bolte hai? English mein kaise na aur mushkil hai. Apeksha to bolne, apeksha means expectation. Yes, nirapeksha means he does not care about the world, simply just bhakti. So they actually, sanishtha can be grahastha devotees. Parinishtha can also be grahastha devotees. Sanishtha are mostly grahastha, those who are in grahastha ashram, because they have to be in the varnashram system. Now, Parinishtha can be anybody, but Parinishtha are mostly grahasthas, but they are not following varnashram to the T. To the T means to the exact. Jitna hota hai, utna kar dete hai. They'll do as much as possible, but their main thing is shravanam, kirtanam, bhakti. But nirapeksha is brahmacharis, sannyasis, who have nothing to do with the world except that they do bhakti. Bhakti kar rahe hai, bas, aur kuch nahi kar rahe. Yes, brahmacharis and sannyasis, they do not have to do anything with this material world. They can just do bhakti only. Is it not? Nobody in this world can force me, brahmachari, that you have to hear prajalpa. You must hear prajalpa. You must attend this meeting in which there is so much prajalpa. Can somebody force you? Uddhava Prabhu, can I force you? No, Prabhuji. I'll tell to my spiritual master. No. Is it not? But we know that as a person who is working for his family, he has to sometimes do all kind of business dealings and all these things. He has to do, is it not? Cannot be avoided. So there is some, but interesting thing is, please hear very carefully. In the Bhagavad Gita, hear very carefully. Do not sleep. Hear very carefully. A parinishtha devotee as well as nirapeksha devotee, both are called ananya devotees. I am repeating this point. Whether a person is in a grahastha ashram or in a sannyasi or brahmachari ashram, they are both called ananya devotees because their faith is in bhakti as sadhan, or means that bhakti is my means, and their faith is, or the goal is, that by doing this bhakti, I'll get bhakti, pure bhakti. So please hear carefully, we are not saying, Bhagavad Gita does not say that grahasthas are not ananya devotees. You will see this further more and more in this chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So in the first six chapters, there is a gradual progression of a sanishtha devotee who will do first karma yoga, then jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, and then he will come to bhakti yoga. Does it make sense? But parinishtha devotee does not, even in grahastha ashram, he does not go to this karma yoga, jnana yoga. No, he does bhakti yoga. He just do varnashram to establish standard for those who are actually, who need to follow that. I don't know whether I can communicate properly, but these are subtle points. This is the breakup of Bhagavad Gita. First six chapters are for sanishtha devotees and 7th to 12th are for bhakti yoga only, and again In the last six chapters, this whole summarization is there. So we'll see that as we go further. So vanaprastha, same vanaprastha, what he has to do? He has to do only bhakti. Only bhakti. Kuch bhi nahi karna hai. Nothing else. Only bhakti has to be done. So he can be nirapeksha. Even grahasthas can be nirapeksha in certain situations. They will just do something minimum to satisfy, maintain their body and soul together, and rest of the time only bhakti. There are some devotees like this. Okay. But vanaprastha, sannyasi, yes, they must only do bhakti, nothing else. Achha, achha. Vanaprastha, kisi aur ki baat kar rahe ho? Meri baat suna kar sir. Pata nahin. 50 saal ka toh main nahin hua. Kisi aur ki baat kar rahe ho? Abhi toh main jawan hoon. Abhi toh bahut saare kaam karne. Anyways. Okay, so now you understand these points? That means a dhira person, intelligent person, he sees that people are getting their bodies as per their karma and they're behaving as per their sabhava and doesn't get bewildered by this. It should be understood. It's a very long discussion. Should I start here or should I stop here? I'm just surprised. A very long discussion here, but okay, let us read this. Very interesting discussion. I'm not so sure. Let us see the devotees on Zoom. Are they still awake? Oh, yes, they're awake. Are they? Oh, that awake. Yes, Hare Krishna. So let us go forward. This is really will spin your intelligence. So be very, very attentive in hearing this. It should be understood that dehina of he who possesses the body is in the singular to denote a class and does not imply that there is only one soul in existence. Since previously the plurality of soul was stated, you and all these kings. This point has to be understood. Rudra Prabhu, the soul in your body, the soul in my body, Gaurgopal Prabhu's body, and all other devotees who have the bodies here, we are individual soul or not? Okay. Yes. So, आत्मा को एक वर्ग के रूप में कहा जा रहा है. द देही मींस विच इज द सोल विच इज द पोजेसर ऑफ द बॉडी इज कंसिडर्ड एज अ क्लास. दैट्स व्हाई इट इज कंसिडर्ड स्पोकन इन सिंगुलर टर्म्स. इट्स नॉट दैट द सोल इन योर बॉडी, माय बॉडी, श्याम परारी प्रभुज बॉडी एंड गौर गोपाल प्रभुज बॉडी और उद्धव प्रभुज बॉडी इज सेम. दैट इज नॉट द पॉइंट. सी, दिस इज हाउ द मायावादीज विल ट्विस्ट द मीनिंग ऑफ भगवद गीता. सी, Dehina is mentioned there. Dehina means ek vachan, only singular. That means one atma. One atma is in various bodies and it is simply transforming, and one atma has been cut by avidya and that has become differentiated into so many atmas, but ultimately is one atma. Now this is how they bewilder the people. Aap mein mujh mein koi antar nahi, main apne koi class de raha hun. I'm giving class to myself only. So I'm saying all of you are present. Don't say, why are you asking? You are there, is it not? you and me, no difference. So this is their argument. But the point is, let me just finish, that Dehina word is meant to be like explaining a class. Let's say Brahmachari Varg. Varg, samajh na, class. So Brahmachari shabd to ek vachan mein hi aayega na. Yahan sab, like this apple. इंग्लिश में तो एप्पल्स कर देते हैं लेकिन सेब रखे हुए हैं. तो सेब शब्द तो एक वचन में है लेकिन यहाँ पे सेब रखे हुए मतलब सेब को एक वर्ग के रूप में बता रहे हैं. अब हिंदी में बोल रहा हूं मैं, इज सपोज्ड टू बी इंग्लिश क्लास. आई मीन टू से ब्रह्मचारी, व्हेन यू से गृहस्थ डिवोटीज, तो वर्ड गृहस्थ इज सिंगुलर बट यू कैन एड गृहस्थ डिवोटीज, दैट्स अ डिफरेंट थिंग. सो हियर यू आर रेफरिंग द होल ग्रुप ऑफ डिवोटीज विद वन वर्ड कॉल्ड गृहस्थ. और ब्रह्मचारी डिवोटीज, सन्यासी डिवोटीज. So just because the word sannyasi is singular, you cannot say all the sannyasis are one, all the brahmacharis are one, all the grahasthas are one. Doesn't work like that. So what is mentioned here is that the word dehina, although it is in singular, one must not come to the conclusion that there is one soul which has been divided into individual souls and then again it will become one. That is the proposition of the Advaitins. Advaitins means who sees completely non-duality. Why we are saying like this? Because in the previous shloka, Lord Krishna says, Natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipah nachevana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamataha param. There was no time when you were not there, when they were not there, and I was not there, and in the future there will not be any time when you will not be there, I will not be there, and these people will not be there. Are you able to follow? So this is just a class. Soul as a class, soul as a group has been addressed, that the soul which is living in the body is seeing the transformation, but it doesn't get transformed. Prabhuji. What is Sanishth, Parinishth, and Nirapeksh? Sanishth means who has faith in Varnashram. If I do not do my Varnashram duties, it will be bad for me. And taking shelter of Varnashram, I'll advance in Krishna consciousness or my spiritual advancement. This is called Sanishth. Parinishth does not have faith in Varnashram. He has faith in Bhakti. But he just do Varnashram so that others will follow the suit. Follow the suit means you follow the example. And Nirapeksh means he only does Bhakti. Are you getting bored, my dear devotees? Are you able to understand? It looks like there's too much education. One devotee is doing B.Ed, Bachelor of Education. So most of the devotees are doing bachelors here, and I'm giving education. This is the real B.Ed, is it not? Yes. The difficulty in Bhagavad Gita classes and Bhagavatam is that we are supposed to actually understand it. What do you mean by this? Another classes you may understand or not understand, you just mug up and you give up the knowledge. But in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, you are actually supposed to understand it. Buddhi lagani hoti yahan pe. Haan, buddhi lagani padti hai. Actually understand because it is relating to us. It's not talking about somebody else. Aisa nahi ki Rudra Prabhu Atma hai, main nahi hu. Is it not? Ya main Atma hoon, Rudra Prabhu nahi hai. All of us are Atma, all of us are bewildered by these changes. So it is concerning our problem. Is it not? Okay, let us see if devotees have tolerance to discuss the further points. This was very nice. I was hearing my Hindi class today on this same like shloka. Then I was thinking, itna kathin baat bol gaya main wahan pe. You know, these are such difficult things, how devotees will understand. But if you little bit apply your intelligence, it is very relishable. Okay? So the point what we are going to defeat is that it is not that there is one Atma which is in different bodies, but there are different individual Atmas, souls which are there in different bodies. This is the whole point we are going to discuss. The following claim is made by proponents of one soul. Ekatmavad. Ekatmavad, samajh rahe na? Ek hi Atma hai. There is only one soul which is manifesting in different bodies. That is their conception called Advaitins. Advait, there is no different Atma. Eka eva, then they quote the shloka, Eka eva vishuddhatma tasya avidyaya parichinnasya tasyam pratibimbatasya va nanatmatvam. So the meaning of the shloka as per their understanding is Eka eva vishuddhatma, only, eva means certainly, only there is one pure soul, tasya avidyaya. Avidya means by the ignorance potency. Parichhannasya. Parichhanna means it has been divided. Tasyam pratibimbitasya. Or you can say there is one soul and its reflections are there by which there is nanatmatvam. There are different souls being seen in this world. So either you can, there are two explanations by these Mayavadis. They say the soul has been cut. Just we cut a clip of a movie, like here, like this. Or we cut a ribbon. They say the Atma is, original Atma is Vishuddha Atma, pure soul. But that has been cut by avidya. That itself is absurd argument, because Atma cannot be cut by anything. How it can be cut by a material energy? Make sense to you?
Mayavadis are not reading Bhagavad Gita.
No, they are reading Bhagavad Gita, but not in parampara. They read their own, have their own understanding. It's amazing. Yes, actually you are amazed by it, is it not? That further shloka down the same chapter, Krishna is saying the Atma cannot be cut by anything. Then how can you quote this, that parichannasya, that it has been cut? It's very amazing how they can give this point. Or reflected, we'll talk about this. The pure Atma is one only. It appears as many souls either by division or reflection through ignorance. So this is their point. You might say, why are we discussing this? One devotee in Agra, he got initiated also. He was chanting 16 rounds for at most 3 years. And one time he presented his doubt. Oh, I was thinking that originally there is one Atma, same point. And now there are many Atmas. And from here we'll go back to Godhead and then we'll be different Atmas. Is it correct? B8 student, do you think it is correct? My dear devotees, this is also wrong. You cannot say that there was one Atma and there were so many Atmas and now we will go back to Goloka, then we'll be different Atmas. No. We have been different Atmas, we are different Atmas, and when we go back to Godhead, still we will be different Atmas. So you see, this is the poison, because he had associated with people who were Mayavadis earlier. The poison does not go away from the mind. There is one Atma, there is one Atma, there is one Atma like this. Atma hi Paramatma ban jayega. Like that. I think devotees are too much in difficulty. I think the question asked now is of not no relevance now. Initiation ki baat kahan rahi yahan pe? So, I will chastise you if you ask me wrong questions. We are talking about philosophy. We are talking, where is the question of initiation here now? So, okay, this point samajh mein aa raha hai. Thoda samay denge humko 15 se 20 minute to hum pata nahi aapke kare prasadam ki vyavastha hai ki nahi. I don't know. So, okay, so we go forward now here. The Shruti says, Akasham ekam hi yatha ghatadishu prithak bhaved tathatmayeko hi anekastho jala dhareshu ivam shuman. Akasham ekam hi yatha. They give the example. Then they also give evidence from Shruti. Akasham ekam hi yatha. Just like the akash, the sky is ghata adishu prithak bhavet. Ghat means the pots. That's just like the sky becomes differently, I would say, becomes limited in different pots. Tatha atmaye ko hi anekastho jaladhareshu evam anshuman. That similarly, one atma is in different bodies. This is their translation. That is not the real translation. This is their translation. Jalad Hareshu Ivanshuman. Just like the Surya, or that means the supreme, that means the Surya is reflected in various pots of water. This is their translation. Just as the one ether becomes separate entities in many pots, so the one Atma becomes situated as many, as the sun is reflected on the substratum of water, Yagvalkya Samhita. So to support their Karika means their Sanskrit version, they are quoting Yajurveda. So this is how it is interesting that they will also quote Veda, but they will give a complete different understanding. And by hearing this, if a person is not in knowledge of Parampara, he will definitely accept that ultimately the absolute truth is impersonal. I'll read further. I hope if the devotees are with me. One second, let me check on the Zoom. Will you come tomorrow also for class, or you're too much bored? Okay, theek hai. So let us go further. Just too much philosophy. Yes, my dear devotees, we need to hear this because we get bewildered. The proponents of one soul claim that Krishna speaks in the singular in this verse in order to teach oneness of the soul by rejection of plurality. Since there is destruction of the false concept of plurality of soul through knowledge. So what they are saying, that the Lord is saying Dehina, one ek vachan bol rahe hai, single pro, because ultimately there is no dhirastatrana mohiyati. The person who is in knowledge, he doesn't become bewildered. He sees Gaur Gopal Prabhu's soul, me soul, Rudra Prabhu's soul, the same. It doesn't become different. That is their understanding. Is that what Lord Krishna is saying? No. He is not saying that that intelligent person will see all the souls are one. He does not say that. Lord is not saying that. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita he will say that. But that's how they will interpret. That yes, because of ignorance only I am seeing difference. Ultimately me and Uddhava are same only. Isn't it? No? But once you have knowledge, dhira, then you will not be bewildered by this understanding that we are all different. We are same only. This is how you see, and don't think if I was a Mayavadi and I was speaking like this, you would have accepted this only as a truth. Hearing is so powerful. Even it is completely against the truth. It is not the truth that you and me are one. It is not like that. But if you keep on hearing like that, our conception will be like this. That's why hearing is so powerful. It doesn't make sense. We and you are different. We'll always be different. But if you keep on hearing, then we think, oh, maybe we are one like this. This, however, is a foolish claim because of the impossibility of dividing up a mass of consciousness by dull and inferior ignorance. Is it not? What the Acharya is saying is, you cannot cut the soul. You are saying parichinna, atma ko kaat diya hai. Atma has been, one atma has been cut. But it is impossible for atma to be cut. That has been evidence we have from Bhagavad Gita only. Is it not? So atma cannot be cut by anything. What to talk of material energy which is inferior to atma? So the argument of parichinnata has been destroyed by the Acharya by giving the evidence or argument that my dear Mayavadi Prabhu, you don't understand that atma cannot be cut. By definition, atma cannot be cut. Even the Supreme Lord cannot be cut also, because he is also pure atma. So this argument that the atma has become parichin or cut by avidya is wrong, my dear Prabhu, my dear Advait Prabhu. Advait means Mayavadi Prabhu, not Advait Acharya. Furthermore, even the proponents of one soul do not accept that one Brahman can be the object of reflection or any action of anything else. What does it mean? This is something very nice. You see, all of us have seen our face in the mirror. Fine? So now, can the mirror see its reflection in itself? Mirror cannot see. Fine? So, for a reflection to exist, there has to be an object which gets reflected in another object. You are able to see your reflection in a mirror. Your face is different and mirror is different, in which the object, your face, is getting reflected. And ye bhi samajh mein nahi aa raha hai, buddhu ho gaya. Is samajh aata hai. But mirror cannot see its reflection in itself. So their argument is everything is Brahman. Everything is Brahman. So now the question will be, where does the Brahman get reflected, my dear Mayavadi Prabhu? You are saying it is getting reflected in avidya, but avidya is also Brahman. You are saying everything is Brahman. So where does Brahman get reflected? And we are seeing the forms in this world, and you say Brahman is formless. Can something which is formless be reflected in anything? It's not possible. So see how intelligent our acharyas are and how foolish these Mayavadi people are. I do not have any form, can there be any reflection? So for we can talk about reflection only when there is a form. As I go forward, I'll again explain this shloka as per Vaishnava understanding. Don't worry. But we are just trying to find faults. We like to find faults. To find faults in the Mayavadi philosophy, okay? It's really faulty. Okay. We go forward. I know devotees would have not expected such a heavy philosophy today, but I think it's relishable, is it not? How the arguments are getting defeated. We must be happy to defeat the Mayavadis. Yes, also accepting a real division of the one soul would produce the fault of transformation in the one soul, like breaking a rock with chisel, which would contradict the soul's unchangeable nature. You are saying that there was one soul which got divided, but you also know that soul is a kutastha, we'll hear in Bhagavad Gita. It is unchangeable. Avikaroyam uchchate. That will come. We have done the parayana. The soul is not having any transformation. Avikaroyam uchchate. It is called avikari. There is no transformation. The transformations are of the body, but there is no transformation of the soul. So as soon as you say the soul has been cut, there has been a transformation. नहीं समझ आ रहा है? चलो सिंपल तो जैसे समझ आ रहा था कि क्लास जल्दी हो जाए रोटी. Right now, are you feeling some transformation in your stomach? I am also feeling hungry and you are also feeling hungry. But is the Atma getting transformed by this thing? No. When you eat the food, again there is some transformation in your body. But is the Atma getting affected by that? No. So Atma, by definition, cannot have any transformation. It is untransformed in all situations. समझ रहे हैं ना मेरी बात? तो कह रहे आप बोले आत्मा काट देंगे, तो आत्मा काटेंगे तो परिवर्तन आ गया, विकार आ गया, तो गलत बात है. अरे यही तो बात चल रही है. अरे भगवान श्लोक बोला नहीं था अविच्छन्न से एक वन आत्मा हैज गॉट अविच्छन्न ही बिकम कट बाय डिफरेंट फॉर्म्स. दैट्स व्हाट देयर आर्गुमेंट इज एंड टू सपोर्ट इट दे आर नाउ कोटिंग श्रुति वाक्यस लाइक दैट. Note, consciousness is a pure subject and can never become an object. It is not revealed by another object. Only Brahman exists. This is the Advaitins claims. You understand my point? They think everything is Brahman. So, the same argument. Mirror cannot be reflected in itself. So, you say everything is Brahman. So, where is the Brahman reflecting into? Brahma mein hi to reflect nahi hota na. For now, as soon as you say there is something else except Brahman in which the Brahman is reflecting, then your argument is counteracted. You are saying everything is Brahman. Then you say Brahman gets reflected in avidya. Then what is avidya? फिर से समझता हूँ. अरे सब कुछ ब्रह्म है, आप कह रहे हो ब्रह्म का प्रतिबिंब हुआ अविद्या में. तो अविद्या क्या है भाई? अविद्या भी तो ब्रह्म है. आप कह रहे हो सब कुछ ब्रह्म है, तो वस्तु अपने में ही कैसे रिफ्लेक्ट हो सकती है? For reflection, are you able to understand this logic? Prabhuji, I was never such argumentative person. I was thought just we have to simply chant Hare Krishna and two times prasadam. Yes, that also is there if you like, but if you want to spin your intelligence, it is really fun. So you understand that their first point is everything is Brahman, which also the living entities say, the Vaishnavas say. But we say Brahman is there, but it has varieties. And they say the Brahman is there, but there is no variety. So basically, as per their argument, ignorance and knowledge, they are all same. Because everything is Brahman. Now, there is no difference. They say there is no difference. Vaishnavas says there is difference, and there is simultaneously there is no difference. This is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We don't say there is only difference, and we do not say there is no difference. There is difference and there is no difference. The Supreme Lord is there and his energies are there, and the energies are not different from the Supreme Lord, but simultaneously different from the Supreme Lord. Okay? Prabhuji, leave us! Too much now. My plate of prasadam is waiting for me. Okay. Me too. But I'll just finish this point. And it is impossible for that great formless Brahman to become reflected images. I will discuss this tomorrow. This is too much. I think this is too much for devotees today. So reflect upon it, what we read today, and you at least have some homework. You read something, then we'll make you master of education, which is Bhagavad Gita. Any questions from your side? Yes, Prabhu. You can give the mic to Prabhuji. Or yeah, boli main Hindi mein bol dijiye, main anuvad kar dunga. Aise koi dikkat nahi. Haan, boli kya prashn?
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु.
यस
प्रभु, जैसे अभी बताया जा रहा था कि आत्मा को काटा जा सकता है उनके अकॉर्डिंग टू मायावादी. सपोज दिस पेपर इज सुपीरियर सोल, देन कट.
हिंदी में बोल दीजिए. हाँ,
इसको मान लो पार्ट्स में काट दिया गया.
हाँ,
सब. और वो अल्टीमेटली लास्ट में वो भी आत्मा रह गया, एक पार्ट छोटा. हाँ, सा. अब जो और नई आत्माएं बनेगी, नई बॉडी जाएंगी, वो उनको कहां से देंगे?
देखिए, वो सब बात खत्म है. पॉइंट इज दैट फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल द सोल कैन नॉट बी कट, एंड यू कांट रेज अ क्वेश्चन न्यू सोल्स. द सोल्स आर सोल्स. देयर इज नो न्यू सोल, देयर इज नो ओल्ड सोल. सोल इज सोल. व्हाट इज दैट? देयर वाज नो टाइम. It was Bhagavad Gita, I'm forgetting the shloka, second chapter only, there was no time the soul was coming into being, it will is coming, now it is coming or in the future it will come. It is always existing. So there is no question of creation of soul, which again defeat the point that the soul is beginningless. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidhyanadi ubhavapi. Material nature and the living entity both are beginningless. You should understand this. Lord Krishna is telling to Arjuna. Okay?
फिर इतने सारे arguments देने के बावजूद भी उनकी समझ में नहीं आता
है। हाँ, this is a good question. If so many arguments are given by the Vaishnavacharyas, why they don't understand? Because mayavadi krishna apradhi. Because they are offenders to Krishna, they will all, you switch off this mic, otherwise feedback is coming. Mic off कर दीजिए। कुछ पूछना नहीं। So because they are offenders to Krishna, Krishna himself gives knowledge to them. This kind of knowledge, because they want to accept that Krishna is impersonal or the absolute truth is impersonal, they do not want to have a relationship with the Lord. The Lord himself gives them this knowledge. If you remember, we have discussed in Bhagavatam that the Lord himself in the fifth understanding of the first shloka, that the Lord himself from the Hansa Guha prayers, the Lord himself inspires different munis to have different understandings about him, and then they will argue with each other. Mattaha smritir jnanam apuhanam cha. So because they want to forget Krishna, so Krishna gives that knowledge. Okay, you keep on understanding me as impersonal Brahman only. But then when somehow that if they associate with devotees, then they can understand. Any questions from... Soul have any specific shape? That I have told several times, the living entity when it goes back to the spiritual world, it is awarded a form which is not different from the soul, but it is a form which the living entity, or the form in which the living entity wants to serve Krishna eternally. Samajh mein aa raha hai? Okay. Does this transformation restrict to the physical form or overall? Doesn't the learning in Krishna consciousness bhakti through years of material lives condition or transform the Atma? No, it liberates the Atma. The question is, the transformation is of the physical form? Yes. The body is changing. The subtle body is also changing. But the Atma is kutastha. It does not change. Yes, the consciousness of the Atma does get polluted, which is like the light of the tube light which is coming. So you can, if you put green paper, red paper, so it will appear the red light is coming, green light is coming. So our consciousness gets affected by the modes of material nature, but the soul proper is not is unchangeable. That's a fact, and that also happens by the arrangement of the Lord. So when we are saying the avidya is influencing the soul, we don't say that the soul is cut by the avidya. The soul is there, it gets bewildered by avidya, by the potency of the Lord. That is very logical to understand. Does it make sense? Because I want to enjoy, that's why the Lord employs his avidya shakti to make me identify with the body. Make me identify with the body so that I can enjoy material sense gratification. That is very valid and understandable philosophy. But it's not that one soul got cut by avidya on its own. Please hear very carefully. Avidya on its own cannot influence the living entity. Because the living entity wants to enjoy materially, the Lord allows the avidya shakti to influence the living entity. I don't know.
Yes.
Anywhere mentioned about this in Srimad Bhagavatam? No, I am speaking everything from my side, from my intelligence. You keep on hearing Bhagavatam in third canto, this question has been raised. If the soul is completely transcendental, how it becomes encaptured this body? So like this. So that you please wait. We'll discuss third canto then, or you can read also the questions of Vidura. Okay? But one thing is there definitely in Bhagavad Gita, where when you start hearing Bhagavad Gita, you begin to think. Is it not? And that is a difficulty. Then we think, I have been so foolish up till now in my life. What is this? Is it not? I have been so foolish. Is it not? And that is a difficulty. Some other question is there. Take up and then finish. So the soul has been knowing about all the knowledge about God from its origin? No. Krishna bhuliya jeev anadir bahirmukh atev maya de tara sansara dukh. The conditioned soul has been bewildered or not knowing his relationship with Krishna since beginningless time. So we are not knowing about God. That's why we should know about God from Bhagavad Gita, from God himself, from Krishna himself. ओके हाउ टू रियलाइज द सोल, कृपया बताइए. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. यू चैंट हरे कृष्ण मंत्र, दिस इज द स्वरूप प्रकाशक मंत्र. संस्कृत बहुत ज्यादा बड़ी हो गई. इट रिवील्स आर स्वरूप, इट रिवील्स आर रिलेशनशिप विद कृष्णा. जस्ट लाइक इफ यू आर इन डार्कनेस वी कैन नॉट सी आर सेल्फ, बट इफ यू आर इन द सन वी सी द सन एंड वी सी आर सेल्फ. हरे कृष्ण मंत्र रिवील्स आर रिलेशनशिप विद कृष्णा. इट इज दिस इज अ मंत्र विच गिव्स सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन. दिस वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट पॉइंट. स्वरूप प्रकाशक मंत्र, क्या बोला मैंने? स्वरूप प्रकाशक मंत्र. इट्स नॉट एन ऑर्डिनरी मंत्र. एंड वॉट एल्स? Then is it not soul's transformation towards the ultimate refinement of soul? Please try to understand. It's not the soul's refinement. It's the consciousness of the soul which gets polluted and get purified. This is Cheto Darpan Marjana. Okay? Like that. These are very subtle points. So, we'll continue tomorrow, Krishna willing. If we don't die, can we die? No, we cannot die. So anyhow, if we don't discuss, if we die, then leave the body, then what to do? We'll meet tomorrow, Krishna willing. Thank you all very much for tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad.